You'll see on page 8 a brief description of our series for these Wednesday nights. Back in December during Advent, we had slow Advent, slowing down in that season rather than rushing through, taking time for reflection. And so it's the same here in Lent. Lent always carries that sense of slow Lent, and yet it is a good reminder for us to, again, slow down. And part of the reason for these two series is also in continued preparation for the sabbatical in the fall. I will be taking time to slow down, but we will also be designing ways for which the congregation continues to be together in worship and using that time for reflection. And so this time on these Wednesdays is kind of a way of preparing for that. I planned these Wednesdays, finally put the plan all together a couple of weeks ago to mostly be based off of a book by Henry Nouwen. Henry Nouwen was a Catholic priest and writer, wrote lots of spiritual books of reflection, is especially looking at the way of the heart, which looks at the practices of solitude, silence, and prayer. And so we'll take 2 weeks on each of those things, beginning with solitude. That's the plan, and I'm staying with the plan. Some of you, if you're on Facebook, you might have seen my comment yesterday that it's a tricky one now, because Henry Nouwen was a good friend of Jean Vanier. Jean Vanier was the founder of a community called L'Arche, or the Ark. And it started in France, and these were kind of like monastic communities. They helped the developmentally disabled, but they also just gave space for people to come and step away from life and to reflect on things. But this past weekend, it was revealed that Jean Vanier had sexually abused several women. Jean Vanier died a number of years ago, but these are things that are just coming to light now. And so it's difficult. Henry Nouwen hasn't been implicated in that. Henry Nouwen has passed away many years ago. I think it was 1996. And yet it seems strange to embark on this journey, having this in the news, knowing that Jean Vanier and some others abused their spiritual position to abuse women. And yet the writing still stands, the writing still points us to Christ, and so we will use it. And yet I decided that I want to use these Wednesdays also to keep reminding us of the abuses that go on around us, the abuses that some of you all may have faced in life, and that we keep bringing those to God, we keep calling out to God on behalf of others and one another. On the back page of the bulletin, there's information about the Zachariah Center, which is here in Gurnee, and offers counseling for survivors, for families related to sexual abuse and sexual violence. So I feel like God has given us this time of Lent, to continue to be praying, to be aware of these things, to see that we are definitely flawed human beings who look to flawed human beings to see what God has taught them, and yet to know that they too carry their sins. So we begin now. I want to spend a moment in prayer on this before we move forward. But I definitely want you to realize that I see the contradictions here, and yet this is where God has brought us, and I think we can learn a lot from all of it together. Let us pray. Father, we come to you. Oh, we give you thanks, Lord, that you have sent so many before us who have learned the faith, who have written about the faith, who have preached the faith, people like Henry Nouwen. We thank you for his writings and the way it can guide us in meditating on your word this season of Lent. And yet it pains us to know that his friend Jean Vanier was abusing women, abusing his position in a spiritual authority to take advantage of others. We pray that you would be with the women who have come forward, be with their families, be with the ARC communities around the world as they deal and grapple with this revelation. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would guide and lead that process. We also ask, Lord, that you would be with those among us who have experienced sexual abuse and or have been present for it or have been caught up in it. We pray that you would be at work by your Holy Spirit to bring about healing and justice and protection. We pray that moving forward that you would give us voices to speak out and to speak up for those who are invulnerable, those who are being abused, to see that you have given us your eyes to see people as your dear creation, as people to be valued and respected. We pray, Lord, that you would lead us and guide us in these weeks of meditation. Lead us and guide us as we continue to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the spirit of the series, we now join in the hymn of the day, Be Still My Soul, which helps us to continue to be thinking about what does it mean to slow down, to really just set aside all of the things that you have been working on today and thinking about today, to set those aside, reflect on the words as we sing to the Lord. So if you go back to page 7, in the Gospel of Matthew appointed for Ash Wednesday, I've always struggled with this one, and I think I've realized partly why I struggle with this reading. This is from the Sermon on the Mount. It's in the middle of it begins with the Beatitudes and lots of teachings. In the middle of this chapter 6, we don't have it here, but is the teaching of the Lord's Prayer. But I think I figured out why I struggle with it. Look at the beginning, while teaching on his disciples on the mountainside, Jesus said, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, and then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven." In other words, if you practice your righteousness before others, the reward is you'll be looked upon as good by other people. But that's not much to do with how God sees it. But I think my problem is that I think I've boiled it down, and almost like I stop hearing it when it says, beware of practicing your righteousness. And in righteousness there, you could say your piety, the way you practice your faith, spiritual disciplines. It's almost like I stop the whole reading, and all I hear is, beware of practicing your faith. Beware of practicing your spiritual disciplines, your putting your faith, your piety into practice. As if Jesus was prohibiting all of it. When really, he's prohibiting is doing these things in order to gain some kind of recognition from other people. Because if you keep going, what does Jesus assume here? Verse 2, when you give to the needy. Verse 5, when you pray. Verse 16, when you fast. So in other words, he is assuming we are praying, we are giving to the needy, we are fasting, we are practicing our faith, we are practicing piety, spiritual disciplines. He's not saying, stop doing all of that. What he's addressing here is doing it for the wrong reasons. In fact, really, he's assuming we're pausing in our lives to give to the needy, to pray, to fast. And so that's what we turn to here in this slow Lent season. We turn to what Jesus is assuming. He is assuming that we take the time to spend in God's Word. Take the time to spend with Him. Back on page 9, where I've got the quote from Henry Nouwen. It's actually another book. It's called Making All Things New. Right at the top. And so what it begins with is setting aside a time and a place to spend in solitude. And that doesn't necessarily mean you're completely alone. Solitude, you can be alone in a crowd, but what it means is setting aside a time and a place to reflect on God. Let's look at that first paragraph. Henry Nouwen says, "Without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life. Solitude begins with a time and a place for God and time alone. If we really believe not only that God exists, but also that He is actively present in our lives, healing, teaching, and guiding, we need to set aside a time and a space to give Him our undivided attention. And Jesus says, go to your private room, and when you have shut your door, pray to the Father who is in that secret place." Which is from our reading tonight. Set aside time to go and pray. That's what Henry Nouwen is inviting us to do. But what will we find? What will we find when we get there? It seems odd for some of us, maybe, right? To think, okay, I'm going to go away someplace quiet by myself for a moment, for 2 minutes, for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes, maybe a little longer, and what will we find there? Henry Nouwen continues, and you don't have this paragraph, but he says, "Once we have committed ourselves to spending time in solitude, we develop an attentiveness, a way of paying attention to God's voice. In the beginning, during the first days, weeks, or even months of trying this out, we may have the feeling that we are simply wasting our time. Time in solitude may at first seem little more than a time in which we are bombarded by thousands of thoughts and feelings that emerge from hidden areas of our minds." And that's the first challenge. The first challenge is that you step aside to spend some time and you're bombarded with thoughts. Are you ever bombarded with thoughts? When you just slow down and you thought you were just going to reflect on the sunset, let alone pray or think about God, and suddenly all these thoughts come in, that's what he's talking about. But then he says what we will find is this: in solitude we come to know the Holy Spirit who has already been given to us. The pains and struggles we encounter in our solitude thus become the way to hope. Because our hope is not based on something that will happen after our sufferings are over, but our hope is on the real presence of God's healing Spirit in the midst of these sufferings. In your solitude, all these thoughts are bombarding you, all these worries and anxious thoughts, and yet what God is helping us to see is that His Spirit is with us in the midst of this. Not when it's all over, not that it's just way out there, but He is here with us now. The discipline of solitude allows us to gradually come in touch with this hopeful presence of God in our lives. Allows us also to taste even now the beginnings of joy and peace which belong to the new earth. That's what we will find. And it doesn't mean that you have to go into a monastery. Sometimes you think solitude means you have to go to a monastery, you have to go to some retreat center, you have to leave everything else behind. Henry Nouwen's book is partly based on these early Christian fathers who would go out into the desert for years to be with God. That's not what we necessarily need to do. What it means is to find some place, some way to slow down. But then he says, when we slow down, there will be more distractions. He says this: to bring solitude into our lives is one of the most necessary but also most difficult disciplines. Even though we may have a deep desire for real solitude, we may have that desire just to be quiet and hear from God, to quiet and listen to God's word, we also experience a certain apprehension, nervousness as we approach that solitary place and time. As soon as we are alone, without people to talk to, without books to read, TV to watch, or phone calls to make, an inner chaos opens up in us. And he wrote this a long time ago, even before smartphones. And this chaos can be so disturbing and so confusing that we can hardly wait to be busy again. Entering some kind of small, quiet place can be, and shutting the door, therefore, does not mean that we immediately shut out all of our inner doubts, anxieties, and fears, and bad memories, and unresolved conflicts, and angry feelings, and impulsive desires. On the contrary, when we have removed the outer distractions, we often find that those inner distractions get really loud. He said one of the early Christian writers describes this first stage of quiet solitude prayer as the experience of a man who, after living with years with open doors, suddenly decides to shut them. And the visitors who used to come and enter his home start pounding on the doors, wondering why they are not allowed to come in anymore. Only when they realize that they are not welcome do they gradually stop coming. This is the experience of anyone who decides to enter into solitude after a life without spending that kind of discipline. At first, the many distractions keep presenting themselves, but as they receive less and less attention, they slowly withdraw. This probably seems foreign to a lot of us, because a lot of us probably think of our lives as busy. And busy, as much as we complain about it, busy is usually good, right? Busy is how we know we're important. Busy is how we know we're alive. Busy is how we know that we're doing good things. And even if that busyness is all about, you know, doing good things for others in the name of Jesus, busyness is the key. And so it probably seems foreign to hear Jesus say, go into a corner and pray. Read God's word. Slow down. Be quiet. I read that where it says closet in the passage from Matthew, where it says closet, they didn't really have closets like we do. So don't be thinking of, you know, just the coat closet, or some of you have the really large, you know, walk-in closet. That is not what Jesus is talking about. When he says closet, the word back then probably more meant something like a space to store tools for the garden or something like that. So think of it more as like a prayer shed. Not a place where you're just like going to go and find comforts. Not a place where, you know, you're going to find the TV and the computer and the radio and your lazy boy chair. No, it's a place where you go and it's uncomfortable, but you're there because you're stopping from everything else. And part of it is also developing the idea of that you can be in solitude in the middle of a crowd. That you can pause and reflect on God's word wherever you are, so that you can take that time, that you can slow down, that you can hear. So what's the goal? What's the benefit? Why do this? Well, the goal is not to do this and gain recognition, okay? Right? The goal is treasures in heaven. The goal is reflecting on what God has given to you in Christ. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. Reflect on these things that give us true hope. All of that busyness, all of those anxieties, they never really get to that hope. Reflect on Him where there's hope. And the other thing is, it's not just about the solitude. It's not the solitude itself. It's not like a New Age practice that says, if I could just empty myself, then there'd be peace. It's not just that. It's to slow down and be quiet, to give there to be space to hear God's word, give space to realize how often you're pushing God's word out, to give space to be continually thinking about God's word and whatever, you know, whatever has been on your mind lately. It's not a space that where you have to accomplish something. How many of you always are feeling like you have to accomplish something? Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. Slowing down, solitude in God, spending just a few quiet moments, it's not about accomplishing anything. You're going to be distracted. You're going to continue to be anxious. You're going to end up thinking, that was a waste of time. And yet, as you continue to practice it, you start to hear God more and more. It's like this. There's that time in the Gospel of John when Jesus and the disciples are in Samaria. And they see a woman at the well, and the disciples go on into town to get some food. And Jesus talks to the woman at the well. Do you remember this? Where he eventually says, you know, that's right, go call your husband. You don't have a husband. You've had six husbands. And she says, you've told me everything about my life. Who are you? And he tells her that he is the Messiah. So she runs into town, and the disciples come back. And they brought food, and they say, Rabbi, you know, teacher, eat. And he says, I have food which you do not know about. And they're thinking, did the woman give him some food? Did he have his own knapsack of some food or something like that? What he's talking about, the food that he's talking about is the food of seeing God at work. That's the same kind of idea with this solitude. There is this food in it, this food in just being fed by God in the midst of all kinds of things, being fed by God. That's the kind of idea that we're embarking on with Slow Lent, with God, and walking with Him. So here's an idea. I'm going to give you a very practical idea for this week. Go back to the hymn of the day, to page 8. Hymns are tools. I mean, they're beautiful, they're poetry, but they're tools to help us to celebrate and teach the truth of God's word. So here's an idea this week. Choose a quiet space. Maybe it's even just your car when you get to work before you walk in. Take 3 minutes. Quiet. In that quiet space, take this hymn and read it aloud to yourself. Read it aloud. Reading it aloud is helpful because it causes you to slow down. If you're a hummer, hum it and think the words. If you're a singer, sing it. Go through it and then let yourself settle in on repeating a phrase. Taking a phrase with you for the rest of whatever that day has. And if your mind starts to wander, let your mind wander without judgment. If you're trying to have a little bit longer of a quiet space and you fall asleep without judgment. You needed it, okay? But practice it. Be in a habit of this. And then bring yourself back to the hymn. Don't set any expectation on what this is going to do. Just reflect on this hymn that points us to God. So let me close by reading the hymn. Be still, my soul, before the Lord. For God is always near. Before your mind is moved to pray, God listens and will hear. You need not multiply your words, nor pray with practiced art. Beyond all speech, God understands the hunger of your heart. Wait then in quiet confidence, your anxious thoughts at rest. God knows your needs before you ask and works for what is best. Be still, my soul, before the Lord. On God in patience wait. God's love unseen surrounds your life. God's help will not be late. Amen.